This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. While breast augmentation is the most popular plastic surgery procedure in the country, many women are opting to have their implants removed and or replaced. Today, Dr. Mary Gingrass, board-certified plastic surgeon at the Plastic Surgery Center of Nashville, is on the show to discuss breast implant removal and replacement. Dr. Gingrass, a pleasure to have you back with us on the program.
Thank you so much.
You bet, and good to have you out this morning. So tell us, why do patients consider breast implant removal to kick things off today?
Well, the most common reason right now in my practice, and I've done a lot breast surgery for almost 30 years, and the most common reason right now are women who have had implants in place for 20, 30, even 40 years, and their bodies have changed. So it's not uncommon for a woman to come in. She may be in her 40s, 50s, or 60s, and she says, you know, I got these implants before I had children. Not only that, before I went through menopause. So they've gone through two big life change units, which obviously can wreak havoc on your body, sometimes good, sometimes not so good. But they say, you know, they don't fit with who I am right now. I've maybe gained some weight, and I really don't want them. And that, I would say, is the most common reason. The less common reasons are people who come in and they're having problems with them. And the most common problem that people have who have implants that have been in for, especially been in for a long time, is capsular contracture. So their breasts may have become firm over time, and this may have been a slow process, or it may have been something that just recently happened. So with each individual patient, I'll sit down and hear, you know, what their reasons are and how they would ultimately like their breasts to look and feel. And then we decide, do we take these out and put nothing back in? Do we take these implants out and do a lift? Do we take these implants out and even do a further breast reduction, depending kind of where they're at the time?
And very helpful information there. Now, what are the most common breast implant complaints that you've seen?
Oh, gosh, it really depends on the population. There's fewer and fewer women who come in with classic silicone fear. We all went through what was termed the breast implant crisis back in the 90s. Silicone breast implants were actually taken off the market for a period of time for cosmetic use. They were always available for breast reconstruction after cancer. But for a time period, you know, of approximately 10 years, they were really put under scrutiny and studied very, very, very hard. They're probably one of the most studied medical devices out there. They were thought to perhaps be related to autoimmune diseases. Fortunately, after much study, that was basically disproved, and there was no cause and effect relationship between breast implants, ruptured breast implants, and silicone breast implants and autoimmune disease. So there's much less of that now. We certainly in the 90s had women coming in who were concerned about systemic disease, and fortunately that's not one of the main reasons anymore. I think at this point the most common reason is they just don't want them anymore, and women have choices. Most of the time, they've had them for a while. Uncommonly, someone will come in and say, you know, I got these implants. They were bigger than I really wanted. And now that I've kind of been on this side of the fence, I just don't really want them anymore. And again, we'll just take each person's complaints and wishes into consideration and decide what's the best plan of action for them. I think one of the things that people are coming in inquiring about and asking about is on-block resection, and I think that deserves a little consideration or maybe discussion, if I could just touch on that. So on-block resection basically means a total capsulectomy, and some women come in, and if they are concerned about any health issues, or they just think, you know, if I'm going to get these out, I just want everything that's even come in contact with the implants, I want that out too. So an on-block resection means taking not only the implant, whether it's intact or ruptured, but also taking any or all scar tissue that's in contact with the implant. It's normal to have a thin layer of scar tissue around a breast implant, just like you have a thin layer of scar tissue around a pacemaker, say, or around a total knee joint. Your body is going to recognize something that's not, you know, human or not part of itself, and kind of almost say, gosh, I'm just going to wall this off just to, you know, kind of protect my person. And so that layer of scar tissue is a totally normal process, and it's called encapsulation. But a capsular contracture, on the other hand, is when that scar tissue contracts or becomes firm or hard. So that, I would say, is a common reason that women come in and say, you know, this just isn't really what I bargained for. I don't know that I'd like my breasts to be softer, and they then want to discuss, should we take them out? Should we downsize? Do I want a lift? And those are really the options that we discuss.
What is the removal process like, and what is the average recovery time for a procedure like that?
That's a good question, and it does depend a little bit on each individual patient. But let's say someone comes in, she's in her mid-50s, she's just recently gone through menopause, she maybe has put a little weight on, and she has more breast tissue than when she first had her implants put in. But let's just say she's relatively healthy. We would, of course, check all the boxes and make sure that there were no medical conditions that entered into the equation. But typically, this would be a outpatient procedure. Just simple removal of the implants takes about an hour, maybe an hour and a half if there's a significant capsular contracture. The surgery is done under a general anesthesia. Generally, no breast tissue is removed, and I would discuss ahead of time whether we're going to put anything back in or do a lift at the time of removal of the implants. But let's just say she doesn't want anything put back in. If she's not going to do a lift, she would have some small drain tubes put in and basically close the same incisions that the implant went in through, so no really additional scar. And then she would go home with an ACE wrap the same day. She would not be terribly uncomfortable. Honestly, most of the time women say it kind of feels like when your milk comes in, your breasts are kind of firm and engorged feeling, maybe a little stingy, but it's not sharp pain. There's usually no muscle involved in this surgical procedure. Usually she can take a shower the following day and put a sports bra on. If she decides that she wants a lift at the same time, of course, we would have discussed that ahead of time. The breast lift can be done at the same time. And there are more incisions, and that depends on how droopy the breast is when the implant comes out. But typically, the recovery isn't a whole lot different. Again, she would go home with an ACE wrap on, a drain tube in each side. She can take a shower the next day and put a sports bra on, and typically we would see them within the week to remove those drain tubes.
Most helpful information on that procedure there. Today we are with Dr. Mary Jen Grass, a board-certified plastic surgeon at the Plastic Surgery Center of Nashville, Tennessee, here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, tell us, how often should implants be replaced?
That's another really good question, and there's a lot of misinformation out there. And honestly, this story has sort of changed over time. Women that had their implants put in the 60s and 70s were probably told, you know, these implants are permanent. They're going to last forever. You're not going to need to do anything. And that did not turn out to be the case. A breast implant is a man-made device. It's basically a silicone plastic bag, so to speak, and it's filled with silicone gel or saline. And that device can wear out over time. So it can, most of the time, a leak or a rupture occurs just from wear and tear, where maybe that implant is rubbing a little fold against itself over a long period of time, and it just wears a little thin and then can leak. So if a saline implant ruptures, the breast implant would just go flat. So you essentially have kind of a, quote, flat tire. And I would recommend that you call your plastic surgeon. It's not an emergency situation, but oftentimes a saline implant can be changed out under a local anesthetic. So if everything else is going well, you just put a little numbing medicine in, open the incision that the implant went in through, remove the ruptured saline implant and put in a new one and fill it up and sew up the incision. A silicone implant, usually if there's a rupture there, it needs to be taken out again under general anesthesia. My recommendations is when I talk to my breast implant patients who are having implants put in today, or, you know, basically over the last 27, 30 years, is if they don't bother you, don't bother them. So there is not a reason to remove your implants every 10 years or every 20 years. So maybe in the 80s and 90s, when there started to be some concerns about breast implants and they were being studied a little bit more carefully, I think the pendulum swung the other way, and some women were told, oh, you have to get MRIs every, you know, 2 and 3 years, and you have to have your implants changed every 10 years. And really that did not turn out to be the case either. So right now, if you get a mammogram, which most women get, it's covered by their insurance starting at age 40. A mammogram has an 88% sensitivity for picking up a ruptured implant. And that's pretty darn good, especially in light of the fact that it's not dangerous to your health if you miss a rupture. So the question is, you don't necessarily have to have your implants changed at any certain period of time. You should just stay in contact with your plastic surgeon, or if you move, with some board-certified plastic surgeon, and someone should be keeping their finger on the pulse and seeing you, you know, at least every couple of years.
Lastly, are there any complementary procedures to an implant removal?
I would say the most common complementary procedure is a breast lift. So let's say a woman had her implants put in her 20s or maybe early 30s, and then she had 2 or 3 children, she breastfed, and her breasts look a little bit different than they, or are a little bit different than they were before her implants went in. So she may have a little more or less breast tissue, and her breasts may be saggy from breastfeeding and pregnancy and weight fluctuation. So the most common concurrent procedure is a breast lift when the implants are removed, because when, especially a larger implant is removed, it leaves, you know, some loose remaining skin that often benefits from some tightening up.
Certainly has been good to have had you back. You really covered this very well. Most helpful, I'm sure, for the listeners tuning in, especially as applies. Where can listeners get all the details on your practice once again?
Well, anyone that was seeking information, please visit our website at www.nashvillesurgery.com. We have quite a bit of information on implant removal and breast implants in general. And Dr. Hawes and myself welcome you to come in for a consultation if you'd like to discuss your breast implants coming out, going in, whatever you wish. And we're in, of course, Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you.
And you're more than welcome, and certainly always good to have you with us, and look forward to our next conversation right here on eHealth Radio. Have a great day.
Thanks so much for having me. Bye-bye.
And you're more than welcome. We have been speaking with Dr. Mary Jen Grass, a board-certified plastic surgeon at the Plastic Surgery Center of Nashville, Tennessee. And for further details and to learn more, visit NashvilleSurgery.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.